Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio or Steel Waves Radio or iHeart Radio, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, however you're listening to us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. My co-host Hannah, everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, she'll be joining us a little later in the show. She had an emergency phone call, but she can't wait to be on the show because she knows, as everybody does, that green jelly sucks. And even when they were known as green jello, they sucked. But now they're the green jelly, and they've got a whole new cast of characters. Here's one of the cast of characters now, Fender Stacks.
Oh, yeah! Rock and roll!
Fender Stacks, he came in costume, and I really appreciate it. This is just as exciting as when Kiss took off their makeup at MTV. You put on your makeup.
Yeah. Even despite the quarantine.
Yeah, despite the quarantine, he put on the makeup. It's like 90 degrees in LA. The sun's beating down on him. And he's got, do you want to stand up now and show everybody what's going on? The muscles and the, look at that. He's got a rhino's a dick. And look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. Look at those boots.
So my costume was done by Cleve Hall, who actually did costumes for
Cleve Hall, former guest of ours.
Yeah, Cleve Hall, the man. One of my professional contacts through another special effects guy named Johnny Psycho. Johnny helped me do the boots. And Cleve did the foam fabrication, the reconstruction of the hair. At the shows, we bring what we call punk rock puppets, which are all made out of foam and duct tape. So you'll see Bert and Ernie and, you know, Shitman.
Flintstone, Shitman. They got,
every costumed character you could imagine, both copyrighted by us and copyrighted by other people. Please don't sue us. So anyway, foam and duct tape is the name of the game, and my original costume was foam and duct tape. It looked terrible.
Well, no, you can tell that Cleve was all there.
But Cleve redesigned everything from scratch. You can see that this is all like plastic tubing.
Yeah.
So everything is much more easy to take on tour because I got to break down the whole costume and I had to make it modular. So it'll all fit in a suitcase because when it was like foam and duct tape, it was terrible because it would get smashed down and all pulled out of shape and everything. And then we would pull it out for the show and you're trying to squeeze things and make it get back into the order. And it was pretty terrible. So I approached Cleve and asked him if he could make it modular and make it break down to where everything would fit into a suitcase instead. And that's exactly what he did. It took a while.
I was going to say, all the dreads, the muscles, the rhino cock.
Oh, yeah. That was pure. This is not molded off of anything. This was straight up made by Cleve. Like, it's all fabricated from nothing. It's not a toy. It's not a, you know, it's not molded off of anything. He free sculpted it. So nice work, Cleve.
Now, I don't tell Cleve, but have you used that with the other half, a little rhino action?
This rhino gets a lot of action, but mostly it shows. You'd be surprised.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure everybody's grabbing
it, lick it. I mean, it's got the cock ring right here, so
yeah,
it stays nice and rigid.
I would imagine, sure. You gotta have that rigid. This is gonna be a fun interview. Before we get going, I gotta talk about our sponsors really quick. Audible, if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show, DMS, audibletrial.com/DMS, you get two free books, or one free book and one free Audible original. One of the Audible originals they just added was a reading of The Sandman, written by Neil Gaiman with voices from everybody from James McAvoy. I mean, just an all-star cast, which I can't wait to listen to. So you get that free just type in audibletrial.com/DMS. You get that free. You get a book free and a 30-day trial. And you can cancel anytime, and you still keep the book and the Audible original, and you can get whatever you want. They have everything from Shakespeare to Smuts. And our other sponsor, I know you're a fan of, because I saw a post about it, is Doomy's Home Cooking.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of mutual friends, it seems like. We got Cleve Hall, and we've got Phil Doomy, who, the best vegan food you ever had.
Yep, absolutely.
What's your favorite Doomy's dish?
I think last time I was there, I had etouffee that was really good. I'm from Louisiana originally.
Oh, really? Okay.
So,
From Old Boys?
Last time I went to Doomy's, I went to the Mexican one. I'm sorry. I apologize. I had chili relleno. I apologize.
You have to apologize for that. I've had it. It's delicious.
Yeah. I had chili relleno last time I went, because I went to the little shop over there off, I don't remember.
It's 1253 Vine Street.
Yeah.
And it's right next to where the M Bar used to be. They have a Mexican restaurant, and they have the regular restaurant.
Right.
They're doing takeout. I don't know if they're doing outdoor seating, but I know they have takeout for sure. And
there's a couple outdoor seats, yeah.
Yeah, so go out there, support them. They also have a place in Culver City and one in Toronto, Canada. And you were from Louisiana last time I was there. I had the shrimp po' boy, which was fantastic. So, and don't forget the fun fries. And I'm trying to keep this as brief as possible. If you're listening to this on a podcast catcher, you're watching this on YouTube, I recommend you watch it on YouTube. You got to see the Rhino Cock. But we have links for Hustler Hollywood, where you get 20% off and a free gift. You know, so get your sex on. I usually ask what people's favorite vibrators or dildos are. I guess I can ask you, Fender, what's your favorite dildo?
I guess the Rhino.
Okay. I don't know if Hustler's got the Rhino, but I know they've got some interesting shape things. And also,
they had a superhero line that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And they have that on, yeah, you have that online. Get the, you know, whatever, Iron Man cock, whatever you want.
The Incredible Hulk.
I'm sure. And also, Spy Associates. We have a 20% off every order of $249. A link on our YouTube and our Spotify and other podcast catchers. If you want to spy on somebody, if you want to see if you're being spied on, it's some James Bond shit. It's great. And we've got so many sponsors. It's ridiculous. We're on two radio stations. We've got so many sponsors. You're drinking Joe Cola, which I don't know where you get that anymore, but good for you. And it's a little Cavassier with the Joe Cola. Is that what's going on?
I'm just pouring some Cavassier by itself. I've got a pretty epic Armagnac and Cognac stash and rum and other things. Let's see if I can tilt this.
Yeah. Very nice.
There we go. So I got my little three-tiered bar.
It's great. It's not a show until guest announces. So, but you have Joe Cola. We're being sponsored by Raze Energy Drinks, RAZE, and we have only for 50% off your order. Raze Energy Drinks, it's not like the crap you get at the convenience store. This is stuff that's sold in gyms. It's sold at GNC. Zero calories, zero sugar, zero crash, all sorts of amino acids and good things in there, and you get 50% off your order. We have a link on the show. So that's it. That's enough selling out to the corporate scum. That's block our show, which we love.
Hey, we got to pay the bills.
Got to pay the bills. I really do.
Times here.
Nobody's working.
Shut down the whole country, right?
Right. So let me run down the history of green Jell-O / green jelly real quick. If people don't know, if you're listening, I don't know why they would be watching or listening to the show if they didn't know, but green Jell-O formed. It was a Bill Manspeaker.
Bill Manspeaker, the great Bill Manspeaker.
The great Bill Manspeaker.
Formed the band in 81.
Formed the band in Buffalo, New York, if I'm
in
not
Buffalo,
not.
Yep.
And they were doing local shows, and they were obviously a lot of stagecraft, a lot of puppets, wackiness. People would throw things at them. Apparently, they opened for the Ramones.
Reportedly, the worst band to ever open for the Ramones.
And that's saying something. I saw the Ramones in their opening band when I saw them. Was horrible. But so Green Jello was apparently worse than that. They moved to Hollywood at some point.
Bill decided to go on the Gong Show.
Oh, that's right. They had the Gong Show.
Bill came out to do the Gong Show and then just never bothered to go back to Buffalo.
I don't blame him. I've been to Buffalo, and my grandmother lives in Niagara Falls, so
I've seen one too many winters there. I think Bill would testify that the winters there are terrible.
No, you know what else is terrible? I performed at a goth festival, the Convergence Goth Festival, in Buffalo in the summer. And it was the hottest. You expect Buffalo to be cold. In the summer, it was like 110 degrees, and we're performing at this place with all packed with people, no air conditioning.
Everybody's in black. Everybody looks like vampires.
Yes, I'm in black. I only packed one pair of shoes, which were my creepers, and I had to wear shorts because it was just too hot with the creepers, and everybody was bagging on my shoes. It was
goths in shorts. That's not something anybody ever wants to see.
Oh, it's not the greatest look. With white socks, by the way. Yeah. So that was the temperatures go to the extreme in Buffalo, and the people did too. So when he gets out here, he puts out some record, and then he eventually puts out the world's first video record.
Correct. Before that, he kind of reformed the band once he got to Hollywood.
So they had a whole new band.
That's when Danny Carey and Maynard James Keenan from Tool joined the band. They were both in the band. They both performed on the main record as well as its precursor, which we're about to re-release for Record Store Day. It is Triple Live Mother Goose at Budokan. So we've got the original.
Oh, wow.
It was an indie release. They only made about 225 copies of that album. I've got two or three of them myself. But there's not a lot of them out there. But we remastered it and repressed it. And it's got the original versions of The Three Little Pigs and quite a few of the other songs that are on Serial Killer, which was the breakthrough album.
Right. Three Little Pigs became a top 20 hit. It's amazing to me in 2020 to think that got played on the radio.
Yep.
A lot.
It was the song everyone was sick of.
Well, I love the song. I'm not sick of it. And when I saw you guys at Jellyfest last year in Whittier, I was surprised you opened with the song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we go right for the throat. We don't want to lose anybody's interest. We start fucking around for too long. They're like, who the fuck are these guys?
Right.
So Bill leaves right with the hit single and then immediately declares that the show is over.
Right, and people left.
And then we said we're just kidding, and then we kept playing, and then, that'll clear the room eventually. You just
people left, but most people stayed.
Yeah, most people stayed.
But it's you guys just don't do things the conventional way at all.
Yeah, most people save the good song or the hit song for the last song.
You're risking everybody walking out.
That's fine. We keep them engaged. We've got puppets full of diseases and, get them all boozed up and throw them in a mosh pit with Fred.
No, I was going to get to that because the live show. So Serial Killer comes out. Three Little Pigs is a huge hit. The band Tool spins off from Green Jello.
Yeah, they got
Jello. Signed. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. They got signed because of Green Jello. So they played the opening show or the celebration show for Jello getting signed, and the A&R guys from Zoo were there, and so they got signed from Bill getting signed.
Right. And apparently there was the reason that this record that came out last year, the Tool record, took like 15 years to make was because Zoo Records was still still said that they had the contract on them or something.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been a lot of weird legal stuff with all of that, but Zoo kind of went under, and then Zoo got their properties bought out, and then the music business is crazy. You know, like people buy each other's catalogs and
right
lay claim to recordings years and years ago that aren't their own, and you know, whatever.
And I want to know how long you've been in the music business, and we're gonna get to that, but. So then Green Jello follows that with the three. By the way, I love the Serial Killer album. I loved it at the time. I love it now. Because it's just there's so much variety on it.
Yeah, and there's three versions of it.
Okay, well I don't know which version I'm listening
to. It's fine. But. It's the original Green Jello version. Then got sued by Kraft Foods for Serial Killer and the Jello name brand and. General Mills and everybody else for all the cereal brands that were used in the videos. And they made us pull the video from the VHS at the time and re-release it as Green Jelly without that video. And then we got sued by Metallica, of course.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. For Electric Harley House of Love, which is the song that I always sing for Jello.
Right.
I wasn't the original vocalist on that one. Everything was Bill.
Marshall Stacks.
Pretty much everything was Bill. My character was based on Marshall Stacks, and it's because Bill didn't want to wear costumes anymore. Bill pretty much just plays in his underwear.
So Bill was like every one of these characters?
Bill was, yeah, pretty much.
He was Marshall Stacks, and he was
Marshall Stacks. You know, he used to dress up and costumes and all that stuff. If you watch the Slave Boy video, which also has Maynard in it, you'll see Bill as Marshall Stacks, and the Harley House video is Marshall Stacks, and House Me Teenage Rave, he's Marshall Stacks.
Right. I was watching the Headbangers Ball they were interviewing, and I was like, you know, they had Marshall Stacks, which is, you know, your character. So I didn't know that was Bill dressed up as Marshall Stacks.
That is Bill dressed up as Marshall Stacks, which is Fender Stacks' brother. So, you know, again, it started off with me wanting Bill to be Marshall Stacks again and wear a costume and all that. And he's like, no, if you want to do it, you do it. And I'm like, all right.
So you got to have that character. That character's on all the covers, and that's synonymous with Green Jello.
Yeah, you've got to have a Stacks. Now, out on the East Coast, we've got Tom Jeffries. I don't know if I'm supposed to use this real name. Never mind. His name is Peavy Stacks. So the East Coast, the Buffalo band, has Peavy Stacks.
Peavy Stacks. Well, that's the thing. Now,
L.A. and Hollywood, we've got Fender Stacks.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to get to that. When you guys came back, now there's 900 members of Green Jelly.
Well, pretty much, if you've ever been a member of Green Jello and you didn't physically get kicked out by Bill, you're still a member. So,
Peter
and Danny are technically still members. Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley from Kiss are still members of the band.
Right.
Sebastian Bach and some of the members of Skid Row that have performed with us live, they were officiated as members, and they never quit, never got kicked out. So, once again, they're still members.
Do you count the audience that dresses up as puppets and goes on stage?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, they're in the band for the night. We bring them. I mean, how many times do you get to put on a pig mask and be able to jump around on the stage of the Whiskey? So, I mean, you're a member of the band while you're on stage.
Right.
So,
or even in Whittier, which I had to convince my drunk friend Angie to put on I don't know which puppet head and go on stage, but she did.
Yep. And we're not going to bite you or anything. Although another drunk pig might knock you over the drum set or something. That's possible, I guess.
Right. And I heard some very creative descriptions of what the smell was like inside.
We do clean them.
I'm kidding.
I've been known to fill up my bathtub and soak all the puppets from time to time and things like that.
Really?
We, take them to the laundromat and stuff and throw them through. So they do get cleaned, Lysol, etc. But, you know, they some of them have been around for a very long time.
Man, what I would love to be in the laundromat when somebody's got green jello puppet heads in the dryer.
Yeah, we get some strange looks.
I can imagine.
Because I go in costume.
Yeah, do you use dryer sheets and
No,
fabric softener?
Not really dryer sheets, although I'm not even sure that we need anything else other than dryer sheets. Can you get pebbles? I'll show you a little piece of Jell-O history that we still have for the moment, although it has been sold, so don't ask me to buy this. I've got a little piece of Jell-O history in my apartment at the moment until we manage to get it to the fan in Sacramento that purchased it. If you look at this, this is the original Pebbles head from the Anarchy and Bedrock video. So that's it. That's not in the best shape at this point. You can see that it's had quite a bit of wear over the years, but it's the original puppet. We haven't remade it, or, you know, I'm sure that we've added some more duct tape over the years, but as you can see, it's fairly worn, and that is the original puppet head. So
that's
coming to a fan in Sacramento very soon, as soon as we can figure out. We would have brought it to them at a show that we were supposed to play, but of course,
the fucking virus. So that's got to be almost 30 years old, that puppet.
Yeah.
And how does green jello? Let's go back to history. How does green jello follow up or green jelly now?
Phonetically, we still always say green jello. We just write green jelly, really.
Oh, because the umlauts turn it into an O.
There you go.
Okay, so green jello.
We don't get mad if you say green jelly, but we always say green jello. But then when we have
although I'm a fan, I guess I'm not a super fan, so I didn't know.
No, it's fine. I don't expect anybody to be a super fan of green jello. We are fucking terrible.
You'd be surprised. There's that guy in Sacramento, my friend Angie. I know a few green jello super fans.
Oh, yeah? Oh, they've got terrible.
I know a couple. Yeah. So,
and a bad sense of humor.
Well, this is where I'm going, because he followed up with the album 333.
Yep.
Which had, instead of Three Little Pigs, he did The Bear Went Over the Mountain.
Yeah, the bear song.
And that was on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. So it was not as successful as Serial Killer, but it wasn't a flop. It got some play.
And yeah, the Carnage Rules song, which was used for the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo video game Maximum Carnage.
Right, that's not bad.
Spider-Man, Venom, and Carnage, all that shit's really hot right now. We're hoping that for Venom 2, they'll use Carnage Rules, because Sony does actually have the catalog.
And
Sony's just putting out Venom 2, and they're going to have Carnage in it. So, fingers.
You're ahead of Green Jello, once again, ahead of its time.
Yep, absolutely.
So then after 333, this is where it gets hazy, because we're talking mid-90s now, about 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
There was an album recorded but never released. Is that right?
That is correct. And the deal with that is that Jell-O had been touring for a couple of years nonstop. Mm-hmm. And so when you make enough money on a few albums, as Bill did, they will pretty much let you do what you want in Hollywood. So they were like, well, Bill, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to have a production company. So Bill started Green Jello Studios, which was down on Hollywood Boulevard, kind of by the 101 freeway. Bright green building.
Right? And, very close to
he did videos, music videos for Marilyn Manson and Kiss, and they did TV shows for VH1. He helped with production on Mr. Show, which was a sketch comedy with
David Cross,
Bob Odenkirk, and David Cross. Yeah. They did a lot of the prop work and everything on all of that stuff. In fact, some of the punk rock puppets that when we reformed and released Music to Insult Your Intelligence By, which was the that missing album that you're talking about that they didn't put out after 333. That is some of the props from Mr. Show were actually what they were using on the tour.
Wow. So then Green Jello just sort of now why didn't they release the Music to Insult Your Intelligence by? What happened with that?
Oh man, I don't know how much I'm supposed to tell you. There was a very
tell me all the inside stuff.
There was a very notorious incident that led to that album not being released. And it had to do with legal issues on the part of the person that had the studio that Bill was supposed to sign a contract with. So okay. Pretty much the second that Bill was supposed to sign the contract for that one, some allegations came about and they stopped putting out records.
Okay. And so this was a studio, this was Zoo Records, or this was...
Oh, no. This was another record company, another record label tied to possibly right. the famous person in the world at the time.
It's starting to become clear who that might be.
Yeah, allegations and... You know, police raiding ranches and all these types of things. So it ended up.
And you said Columbia Records owns the catalog.
No, Sony.
Sony owns the catalog. That I can think of somebody that would fit that description. That
there you go.
Records.
So anyway, so that and, all that stuff happened, and so the album ended up getting shipped.
So they told
years later, to Bill decided
and,
to.
They told the album to beat it, and No Way Rocked With You or anything like that. And
we didn't get to thrill anybody with that one.
To thrill anybody, and it was sus. You could have been starting something, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, but I guess if your record's not going to come out, it would take somebody that was the biggest pop, maybe. Some would say a king of pop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but again, you know, it's bad timing is what it was. Just bad timing. If it would have been 2 weeks later, then we probably would have been fine. Or at least Bill would have probably gotten an advance check, even if they still wouldn't put out the album. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to look in the crystal ball and really say, what would have happened, but that was where everything was at the time.
Never and black so, and white.
Anyway,
so
Bill was busy. He and Claude, which is Kim O'Donnell, which was the blonde chick that was in the band at the time, had a kid, Damien, and so Bill was running production companies and had Damien and was raising his family and all of those types of things, and production company, and then eventually Bill became part of a club in LA called Qtopia, and so that's what he was doing for quite a while. And actually, Damien wanted Bill to restart the band for Damien's birthday. Damien turned 13, and he said, "For my birthday party, I want Green Jello to play."
And that's adorable.
Yeah, Bill pulled the band back together, and he was still had Q at the time.
Right.
And so if you go on YouTube, you can look up a song called Cookie, which was a parody of a Limp Bizkit song.
Right.
And so Cookie was shot outside of Qtopia.
Okay.
I thought I saw it all, but yeah. During those years, the band was semi-active and played a few shows and such, and then Bill signed a deal with somebody to put out Music to Insult Your Intelligence by, and he pulled together a band including Aaron from Radioactive Chickenheads and a few other notable people, and they toured, played what do you call it, my mind's blanking on me,
the Gathering of the Juggalos. I know you guys play that.
Oh yeah, we played the Gathering of the Juggalos. We just toured with ICP in October. That was insane.
That's so to speak.
Absolutely.
What made that? what is that like? I mean, what was the most insane thing that happened on the show, on tour?
The most insane thing to me, a biker ripped my nipple off my costume, and I almost got in a fight with, you know, a bar full of bikers, which, you know, if you hit one of them, it's not going to go well. So that was awesome.
You and ICP are playing a bar full of bikers.
Yeah.
Were there people with clown makeup on too?
Yeah.
So it's like half clown makeup, half bikers.
I guess the bikers were the regulars of the bar, and the juggalos all crashed. And I got to say, the juggalos are probably the nicest group of people, though, ever. Probably the most misunderstood group. People think that – I don't know what people think. I've heard lots of negative things about juggalos. And I've got to tell you that every experience I've ever had has been nothing but positive. And the juggalos did nothing but have fun, and it was very positive. It was the other people that were on the tour, such as – and I'm pretty sure a 50-something-year-old biker is not a juggalo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've had the same experience with juggalos, but I had a similar experience myself. I did a show at a biker bar in San Diego, but it was an all-black show. So yep. It was like all-black comics. I was the only white comic. And they had, you know, a bunch of well-dressed black people and a bunch of bikers. And two fights broke out during my set, so I can sympathize.
Yeah.
But so it was 2008, 2009 that things really started rolling.
Yeah, that's when the band got back together. And then Bill rolled with the tour bus and standard touring for a while. And then he kind of had an epiphany, and he realized that he really didn't need it.
Yeah.
And so in 2012, Bill kicked everybody out of the band except himself. Like, he got rid of the touring band.
Okay.
And then he started setting up band members in different areas all around the country and Mexico and Canada. And so Bill would fly out. Bill would meet up with the band there. Bill would play three shows, and then Bill would fly home, and everybody had a great time, and that's it. So if you live in Buffalo, it's always the same green jello. If you live in Houston, it's always the same green jello, but they're not the same green jello.
Right. And LA is a whole different green jello.
LA is a whole different green jello, except for the tour. So there's a few of us, such as me, Captain Ray, which is Ray Earls. He's in the duct tape captain suit, you know.
Right.
You see him in Hollywood and all those. He tours and goes out and play shows. I go out and fly out and play shows other places, Chicago, Texas, Louisiana, wherever. Me and Bill will fly out. We'll meet up with the Texas band. Then we'll go on tour down there, and then me and Bill will fly home. And PB Stacks goes Canada, et cetera. Lazy D, and if you don't know who Lazy D is, it's our affiliated band, Lazy Ass Destroyer. And Lazy D, I and Bill are kind of the vocals when we're playing those shows.
Right.
So Lazy D and I'm not a lead singer. I'm a hype man.
Yeah, you're like the Flavor Flav.
Front man. Yeah, like... That's why my solo album's named All Show No Talent, because we don't really claim to be the best, just claim to be entertaining, if that makes sense.
Sorry about that.
You're good, kid.
I had to plug my computer back in. Sorry about that. It was running out of batteries.
It would be bad if it just blanked out.
Yeah, so... Well, that begs the question, how did you meet Bill Manspeaker?
I met Bill Manspeaker from going to shows, and then it turned out that I lived right by him.
Okay.
And so,
were you a green Jell-O fan?
I was a green Jell-O super fan. Bill was amazed at how much green Jell-O trivia I actually knew,
yeah.
Considering, you know... I mean, that's the thing. It's like the green Jell-O fans that are old school green Jell-O fans like myself, you really had to know your shit, because the internet was not where the internet is now.
Right.
To know all the stuff. You actually had to read magazines and, you know, talk to people.
Which helped the mystique, though.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that Bill was Marshall Stacks, and you did, but I didn't.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's a there's a whole air of mystery, and there's a lot of green jello myths that some of them aren't even true, but Bill doesn't really dispel them because it all adds to the mystique.
Oh, give me an example of a myth. What's a myth that people believe that's not true?
I don't know if I should out a myth, actually.
What's a myth that
I'll give you one that's really minor. How's that?
Okay.
It has been told and retold that when the I think it was Triple Live came out, that they hung all the records in a tree and you had to climb the tree to get the record. Not true.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that were guest stars on the album that were rumored to be guest stars on the album and weren't actually necessarily involved with the project. And then I think everybody thinks that the Maynard being in the band is a myth, but if you read his autobiography, he does verify it. He's no, actually the one who goes, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
Yeah, I mean, that's for, and they even Green Jello, even when they Tool played the Greek Theater, there's footage of them doing Three Little Pigs. Maynard and Danny don't deny it.
The only reason Maynard knows Danny is because they used to be at the Green Jello Loft, and Danny lived right beside it. And Maynard and Danny used to get baseball bats and go clear the bums out of the alley. That's probably not the nicest thing to say, or it's probably not politically correct or whatever at this point.
Well, you know, it was the 90s. They were bums. Now they're homeless.
People were always just hanging out in the alley and passing out and, you know, camping and just being a nuisance and being loud and shit. And they would go out and clear the bums out from behind the buildings and stuff.
Before
they ever were musically involved, they were involved in potential violence.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say if Tool doesn't work out, you know, there's plenty of work out in Hollywood. So, I would imagine where that loft is, it's they've come back.
And yeah, I think there's a hydroponics place there now. Bill's had the building a couple times. It's burned down twice. And then finally Bill got into a disagreement with the owner where we don't think he'll rent it to Bill again. So it's okay, though.
Right. So how did you meet Bill?
Just going to shows and talking to him. And then I ended up hanging out with other Jello members and then hanging out with Bill, and Bill only lives 10 minutes away from me. And so, I had told Bill initially that, if he ever needed a ride to hit me up, and of course, something happened and he needed a ride and he hit me up, and then we started hanging out and then we hung out more and then became inseparable. And then if you hang out long enough, Bill will find a use for you. So,
okay. So when did he find, well, you were doing music at the time, though, yourself, right?
No.
No. What were you doing at the time? Besides Sipping Cavassier.
I've been involved with music for a very long time, but not usually really performing.
Okay.
I used to run a music magazine back in Louisiana. Before okay. I left for Greener Pastures and stuff. So I was very involved with putting together shows and promoting shows and, doing photography at shows and reporting on shows and things like that. But then when I moved away from Louisiana, I kind of stopped doing music stuff at all.
Was that New Orleans, or what part of Louisiana are you from?
I was from Shreveport, which is pretty much like the South Detroit.
Right, no, I've been to Shreveport. I get it.
Sorry.
I got out. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a vortex. It tries to pull you back in. It's especially you got family there. Can ask my friend John about that one. Ugh.
Well, I can imagine. Yeah, John will set me straight. So you're a photojournalist, and you know the kids today, they don't understand. There was a time you couldn't take a picture at a concert.
Yeah.
So you had to rely on the magazines,
right?
See what these guys look like, and to see them in action.
And now everybody's a videographer with the cell phone.
Yeah. Now people don't even watch the concert. They're just sitting there with the phone, just
watching the phone.
Which I will confess I did and got some Three Little Pigs and put it on Instagram. But But back in the day, you had to rely. So when was the magic moment, the fateful moment when Bill said, I want you to be in Green Jello?
Jesus Christ. I don't even know, man, because the transition was very gradual, because originally I was just, you know, kind of helping Rhodey and doing what they call punk rock puppet wrangling, where you bring the puppets and, you know, when Bill calls people up, you get them in costume and then, you know, push them out onto the stage, sometimes forcefully, and all of those types of things.
Yeah, if you go see Green Jello live, which I recommend, I had a great time. They get like 20 people off out of the crowd. They put them backstage, puppet heads on them, and then they have a mosh pit. They're on stage and then they have a mosh pit with the puppet heads on. It's great.
And sometimes the mosh pit is on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great. And like I say, I got my friend to do it, and she had a great time, and she was pretty drunk anyway. Now she has a lovely baby boy, and she's settled into motherhood. So I don't know if she'll be doing that again. But so you were puppet wrangling, and you were just kind of doing things on the periphery.
Yeah. I've been doing the Fender Stax thing for a few years now.
Okay.
But not like a decade. So.
Oh, really? Okay. So because Green Jello really kind of returns touring. They really got notoriety, oddly enough, from World Star Hip Hop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That incident.
Because Bill apparently did a show in Canada, and I'm assuming that the PB Stax was on that show, but they didn't pay him.
Yeah, it went beyond not paying them, and here's why that spiraled out of control. The reason that happened is because the promoter had you're supposed to pay a deposit.
Right.
And then you're supposed to pay the other half at the show.
Yes.
So one of the other members of the band sent Bill the deposit, and then the guy that the promoter never gave the deposit to that member.
Oh, okay.
And then at the show, the venue had fronted the guy some money to make change and shit at the door. And he took all the money at the door.
Right.
And all the change that the owner had given him, and ducked out.
Right.
So not only did he not pay the back half, he didn't pay the front half. He took all the door money. And he took all the money which was a couple hundred dollars in 20s or in fives and 10s and took all the fronting money and the ticket money and the money that he was supposed to pay for the show and just dipped out.
And, you know, with some bands, maybe you can get away with that, but not Green Jello.
Well, it would have been fine. In fact, Bill initially said, you know what, it's not worth it. And then he found out that Rob had fronted the money and the guy paid the front half, because if it would have just been the back half, Bill was like, don't worry about it. But then he found out that if he did that, that Rob would have been out the 500 or whatever. I don't remember what the deposit was, but he would have been out hundreds of dollars from the front half that he had already given Bill. And then he didn't get that either. So then they just decided, they talked to somebody that knew where the guy lived. And then they went to his house and started banging on the door, and Bill live streamed it. And, there you go. Look it up.
Oh, it's on YouTube. It's great.
Yep.
And you know, when World Star Hip Hop picked something like that up, it went viral, and it was such a big hit. Now was that the impetus of Caroline's Records signing you guys?
I don't think so. I mean, like,
couldn't hurt. But
we had talked to a few people, and there's a a promoter named Patrick. I don't know, Patrick Lugo, but he actually put us together with Cleopatra. We'd been recording songs with different.
I said Caroline. It's Cleopatra. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Cleopatra. It's fine. So we'd been recording some different songs with different bands from, you know, the different areas, you know, and different people had collaborated on songs and with the intent of eventually putting them all on an album. So we already had some songs. And then we signed with Cleopatra and then brought those songs that we had over, and then they wanted more. So then we recorded more. So I wrote a song with Larry Reagans and Captain Ray from the Hollywood Band called okay. And the Show Goes On. So hopefully that will be on there. That's the beauty of working with the record company, is that you don't have absolute control over what gets on the record and what doesn't.
Really? Because I don't know. I put out a couple comedy albums, but
well, there's a lot of moving parts. So when you're putting out albums on vinyl, for example, so the collector's market, a lot of the collector's market is now vinyl, and vinyl records don't hold as much as what a CD will hold.
Right.
So you end up having to look at, because we had like 14, 15 songs. We don't put out a 8-song record and call it a day. We give you more crap than what you wanted.
Right. Well, that's always been the case.
But then only so much will fit on a record. So they got to kind of pick and choose among the approved songs as to what's going to be on the record. And if they're going to release some digitally, or I don't know, there may be a CD with bonus tracks or something. We'll see.
Right. So the standard of music was like in the 70s when vinyl was, it was like 40 minutes, 45
yep.
minutes. Then when CD hit, everybody's doing 75, 80 minute albums.
Right. Everybody wants to maximize the amounts.
And now it's back to 45, 40 minutes.
Yep.
It's so weird. I don't know how anybody gets paid. I don't know how a record company stays in business now.
There's a lot to it. You got your streaming, you've got your, you know, iTunes, digital sales and stuff. But, and then of course you've got your record vinyl collector market. Not a lot of people buy CDs anymore. I still do occasionally. Like when Static X put out their recent record, I pre-ordered a, you know, autographed CD copy. So
that's good.
The boys did not disappoint. I will say that also. Tony Campos and the boys did not disappoint. So
that's good. Yeah. I've heard a couple songs. They sound really good.
Yep.
But, when did the Silence of the Sponge, when did that, where does that fit in?
Silence of the Sponge is one of the songs that was released independently and will probably also be on the new record, which is Garbage Band Kids. So they may do a remix of it or something. I don't know. We did actually produce the record, and we've got a guy named Aaron producing the record, and he mixed all the songs and all that. So he's got kind of a definitive sound to the album and such.
The video came out and last year, I think. It's SpongeBob's a serial killer, apparently.
Yes.
Messing with the cartoon characters, as is the green yellow way.
I think SpongeBob, the cartoon character, actually is a serial killer. They just don't show those scenes.
Right. It's a selective editing. But now, like I say, you've been out on some crazy tours, doing some crazy
yes.
things. What are some of the craziest thing you've seen live?
Besides
bikers trying to, you know, suck on your nipples, things like that. But who goes to these green jello shows now?
A ton of people. You know, you'd be surprised. Like, I'm always shocked at the people that are seeing us for the first time. Yeah. And it's like, how did you even know to go to this show? You know, like if you, I've never heard you guys before today. It's like, you guys are amazing. That's great. The Juggalos, like I said, a lot of them weren't Jello fans to begin with.
Yeah, I can see you converting. I could see it diverting ICP fans.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, when you did the Gathering, I've heard some things. I've had a couple guests, and I personally wanted to play the Gathering, and been in contact with them a little bit. But I've heard it's just the most fun time.
It is. It still can be hazardous. Bobcat Goldblade told me that somebody threw a chainsaw at him.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
I didn't know Bobcat Goldthwait played the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I guess so.
He must have needed some money pretty bad, I guess.
I don't know. Or maybe, catch back up with him, see what he's up to now.
How do you know him?
I don't know. Just, you end up, if you live in Hollywood, you end up meeting strange people.
That's what people tell me, yeah. And I guess I have. I saw Bobcat Goldthwait once in the supermarket. I didn't recognize him.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because this is probably 10 years ago. I didn't know he cut his hair, and he's a lot skinnier than he was. And
yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Bobcat Goldthwait. I'm like, really? It's so weird. But you, now that you've been in Green Jello, you have your own musical career that you're working on.
Yeah. I'm recording a terrible solo album called All Show No Talent. It's filthy parodies, well, filthy metal parodies of 70s rock songs.
Okay, so kind of a blowfly sort of for the 21st century.
Yeah, really, really dirty though. So
how dirty?
Not for the easily offended.
Give me an example of how dirty. We encourage profanity, please. Gross us out.
Let's see. I'm doing a cover of Dirty Deeds by AC/DC, but mine is Dirty Deeds Under Sheets. And it kind of goes sideways from there. It's pretty.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. If you join my Fender Stacks group on Facebook, I've posted a few videos of live performances of stuff. I actually go to the Viper Room for Rockaholic Karaoke
with Scumlove.
With Scum and the boys there, yep.
And,
yeah. So I've played a few Fender Stacks songs live with them before.
Oh, okay. I just joined the group, so I'll have to check out the videos. But yeah, I mean, how hot does it get on stage with all that stuff on there?
It's really, really hot. Like, it's really hot. With the lights and everything else, like, I'm literally, like, it's like somebody poured a bucket of water over me after I get off stage.
Even though you got the Master Cleve Hall did it, and I'm sure he made it as breathable as possible, but
still. Yeah, but, I mean, like the pants that I've got don't have, like, they're chaps. The back of the pants is cut out.
Right.
Just so I get some skin exposed to the air. Because otherwise, I'd probably just pass out.
And I just want to know, since you said there's 900 members of Green Jello, how many shitmen are there?
In my mind, there's only one shitman, and it's not a man. It's Cheryl Mustaine. Cheryl always brings the best shitman mask ever. You can look her up.
Wait, you're telling me
she's the one that had a mask on the cover of Green Jello Sucks Live, the album, the soundtrack?
Right.
So, I don't know. She always has the best shitman.
Wait, this is like when I found out Bart Simpson was voiced by a woman. You're telling me shitman's a woman too?
The best shitman is a woman, yeah.
Oh,
Shout out Cheryl Mustaine.
And if people don't know what we're talking about, Shitman is a Green Jello character and song.
Yep.
And and it's funny because when you look up Green Jello on YouTube, not only does it have, you know, people look up Shitman, but people are looking up Poo Poo Man.
Yeah, Poo Poo.
Yeah.
I've got Poo Poo on my shoe. I've got Poo Poo on my shoe. It's Poo Poo. Poo Poo.
So this has got to be, I mean, you guys are just getting things ramped up, and then this fucking virus.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like my album was almost done. We were out on tour. We were on tour in Wisconsin and Minnesota. And we're still playing packed houses. And then we come back home to California, because they shut the country down.
Right.
And then had a hard time getting home.
Oh, like, I can imagine. So you were on tour when they were you how long were you in the Midwest? You couldn't get a flight? Were you there stranded there for weeks or?
Yeah, no, we were there for about a week. But still, it was very, you know, we're playing sold out shows. And then it's like everything came to a screeching halt.
That sucks.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this was going to be the big green jello renaissance. 2020 was going to be the year of jello.
Would have been, but we'll see. I mean, we had the re-release coming out. We have Garbage Band Kids coming out, and I had my solo album coming out, and then all of a sudden everything is thrown into uncertainty, and people are telling me, well, I don't know if live shows are going to come back. I'm like, yeah, live shows are going to come back, dude. Like, they're going to have to.
Right. They're not going to shut down. For people's sanity's sake.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And the Garbage Band Kids is obviously a takeoff of Garbage Pail Kids.
Yes. Yes. We were actually supposed to have one of the artists for Garbage Pail Kids do the artwork, but there was some issue that they decided that they weren't going to. So I think that we've got a lot of different artists that are contributing artwork for the Garbage Band Kids songs.
And I would suggest, and I'm sure you've probably thought about it, trading cards.
Yeah, well, I already had a set of trading cards that I designed that we still haven't put out yet for all the different members and, you know, from all over Jell-O kind. So we'll see.
Well, I got to tell you, where does the time go? I can't believe it's already been an hour. Well, I just had a great time. I definitely want to have you back.
There's a lot of crap in there, I think.
I think we fit a lot of Jell-O stuff in there. And, yeah. I can't wait for live performance to come back, and I can't wait to see Green Jell-O live again, because I got to tell you, you guys put on a great show. Three Little Pigs, you think it's over, but it's just begun.
Yep, absolutely.
And, I mean, just, you know, I've been listening to Green Jell-O all week. I'm going insane. My favorite laugh-out-loud moment in Green Jell-O is when Bill is Marshall Stacks and the House Me Teenage Rave video where they do the parody of American Bandstand. Everybody's like, it's a great beat. You can dance to it. Too bad the band sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they bring two guys up and he's like, yeah, hey, buddy, I'll see you after the show. Just fucking
crazy. Exactly. The guy's like,
cracks me up every time.
With the wrench.
Oh. And the thing is, the songs, they're ridiculous. They're stupid. They're children's songs, but they're played so well. I know the Green Jell-O sucks, and I know Primus. Did Primus steal that from Green Jell-O? They had to.
I don't know.
Because that's their theme, too, is Primus sucks, and Green Jell-O sucks had to predate that, right?
Well, Green Jell-O sucks. The original version of the Green Jell-O theme song was on our 1984 EP called Let It Be. So the Green Jell-O Sucks thing started because Bill was playing. He went to Kenmore West and they played Kenmore East, which was the rival high school.
Right.
And so everybody was chanting Green Jell-O Sucks, Green Jell-O Sucks.
Right. Unless you think that they did well in the Gong Show, they got gong pretty quickly.
They got gong pretty quick.
But it was like it's a Gong Show with people you've never heard of. It's not the Chuck Bearers. It's some other guy.
Oh, you know, I've got one other little thing I can share with you before.
Oh, yeah, please.
So, before Bill left Buffalo, he did record one more album. It was called Puppet Music. Now, he does mention this on Green Jell-O Sucks Live, which is the documentary. You can watch that on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
If you haven't already. But he mentioned it briefly on there that that album was recorded. It's called Puppet Music. It had the original version of Obey the Cow God, the original version of Rock and Roll Pumpkin, and some other covers and things like that. And they recorded it, never had the money to put it out. Then Bill did the Gong Show, came out to Hollywood, then reformed the band, and they just never put it out. We found the album.
Wow. So,
So Bill knew he had it somewhere, but he didn't really know where. So me and Bill were digging through a storage unit, and I did find the album. So at some point in the near future, we will release the missing album, which was recorded, I think, in 85. Wow. Includes two rap songs, which is surprising.
Well,
Potato Rap and Rootin' Rap, I think. I don't know. So there's a couple of rap songs on there, a couple covers, and then just more Green Jello madness that nobody's heard but me and Bill.
Right. You don't think the musicianship is good in Green Jello? I think it is. I think it's always been.
We've recruited some really good guitarists and players and such to play. But yeah, there's no real talent there.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. I mean, you know, and you're concluding yourself in that, so there you go.
As I said, I'll show no talent, my friend. I'm a hype man. I'm not a lead singer.
Right.
So it's okay.
Well, hype man, I've had a blast this last hour. I guess Hannah's gonna be so sorry she missed this, but she's dealing with some medical issues with her grandfather.
It's okay. I will be playing my own solo shows as soon as live shows get up and running again. So I'll be playing some Jello songs and our solo stuff and all that. So
Fender Stacks or
as Fender Stacks, Fender Stacks of Green Jello. I've actually got my own full band separate from Jello and the whole nine yards.
With Bill's blessing?
With Bill's blessing, yeah. In fact, I talked to Bill about it, and I was like, yeah, I was going to put Fender Stacks and Green Jello was going to be the working title. And he's like, you really probably should put of Green Jello so they know that it's really you. I was like, okay.
That's great. Well, Fender, how can all these morons who like Green Jello and think they're actually good like myself, even though they suck, how do they get a hold of you?
Hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever. I always answer my own messages. So if they message me, I'll message them back.
That's Fender Stacks with two X's on the end.
As soon as people book, so.
That's Fender Stacks with two X's on the end.
Yep.
Why was it number three X's?
Nope, two X's.
Too obvious to have the three X's or not?
Nah, it's the album's got three X's, but my name's only two.
All right. Well, tell your wife I'm sorry to hear that. Anyway, Fender, it's been a great – I've had fun. I would definitely want to have when live performance is back, I want to see you solo. I want to see Green Jello. I definitely want to have you back.
All right. Absolutely. Maybe we'll bring some more members of the band next time.
Oh, please. Yeah, I would love to talk to everybody. And, say hi to Shitman. Say hi to the Cow God. Say hi to Bill and everybody there.
Yep. Hi, Bill. Hi, Lazy D. Hi, Cheryl.
Everybody, Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week.
All right, take it easy, guys. Rock and roll!